Well, in the years immediately following the First World War in Great Britain, there was a great interest in spiritualism as people who had lost loved ones in the war sought to make contact with them. Untimely death, severed relationships, and it's understandable that people should have felt a strong desire to reconnect with their dead loved ones. Prominent figures such as Arthur Conan Doyle were among those who became involved. Sadly, of course, spiritualism had little to offer. Many of the so-called mediums proved to be frauds, and ghostly contacts, real or imagined, brought little comfort to the bereaved. So its popularity soon faded. The reading from the Gospel this morning gives us Luke's account of the disciples' encounter with the risen Lord on the evening of that first Easter day. Their immediate reaction was to think that they were seeing a ghost, a visitation from the grave. And despite the repeated testimony of Jesus during his lifetime that he would undergo suffering and death and on the third day rise again, his resurrection was totally unexpected and extremely difficult for them to comprehend. Luke, in common with the other evangelists, starts his description of Easter morning with the women coming to the tomb and finding the grave empty. He tells us that the women then encounter two men in dazzling clothes who ask, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember what he told you." Amazed by this information, the women rush to tell the male disciples their good news, only to be met by stolid unbelief. The men dismiss the women's testimony as an idle tale. Luke's narrative then describes two disciples on a journey from Jerusalem to a town called Emmaus. And on their way, they meet a stranger on the road, and they get into conversation with him about the things that have been happening over the past weekend. And the stranger listens to their sad tale and then chides them for their unbelief. And in Luke's words, "Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures." Arriving at their destination, the disciples invite the stranger to stay with them, and at supper, as he blesses the bread and breaks the bread, suddenly their eyes are opened and they recognized that they have been in the presence of Jesus. At that moment, Jesus suddenly disappears. Well, what's their response? They rush back to Jerusalem to tell the other disciples. And they find that the disciples are discussing an encounter that Peter has had with the risen Lord. So it's in the midst of this excited conversation about these mysterious meetings that Jesus suddenly makes his appearance. Luke's description of this meeting with the disciples in Jerusalem is very close to John's account in John chapter 20, a gospel reading that we had last week. Both tell us that Jesus' first words to his disciples were words of peace and reassurance. These disciples had fled when Jesus was arrested. They'd been notable by their absence at the crucifixion. They had been AWOL when the women were at the tomb early in the morning. They'd refused to believe the women's testimony about the empty tomb. In short, they have proved to be very poor disciples. So it's no wonder that Jesus' appearance among them brings fear and confusion. But Jesus speaks words of peace and acceptance into their fearful hearts. Both John and Luke also emphasize that Jesus showed them his hands and his feet. Jesus wanted to assure his disciples that the one standing before them was the same one who had hung on a cross and had endured the pain of crucifixion. The risen Jesus is the Christ who died. Good Friday and Easter are forever joined. A gospel that avoids one for the other is not the gospel of the New Testament. To follow the risen Christ is to follow the one who bore the cross. Following Christ will of necessity involve engagement with the world of pain and suffering. "See my hands and my feet. is Christ's message to the church. But more than that, Christ carries his scars into eternity. Jesus was crucified as a human, but rose again as a crucified human. As one modern writer has put it, the ascension was not Jesus beaming back up to Starship Enterprise when the mission was accomplished, leaving the earthlings to play happily. It was the introduction of a novelty into heaven, human nature. Being human from then on, permanently and indissolubly involved in the presence of God. Luke also adds the detail that Jesus ate food in the presence of his disciples. Luke accents the physicality of Jesus' body. He wants us to understand that the resurrection will not fit the accepted notions of immortality. The risen Jesus was not a disembodied spirit released from its earthly frame, nor was he a resuscitated corpse. His body was not subject to the same limitations of time and space. God had acted in a unique way in the resurrection of Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Paul devotes a whole chapter to the question of how the resurrection of Jesus gives us a foretaste of what resurrection will mean for us. In the New Testament, resurrection doesn't just mean life after death or going to heaven. It means a new embodied life in God's new world. The new body will not be identical with the old one. Like the resurrection body of Jesus, there will be both continuity and discontinuity. The new body will be at home in both dimensions of God's world, in heaven and on earth. The vision of the final chapters of the book of Revelation is of heaven and earth brought together in harmony with a new heaven and a new earth. Well, Luke's account of this Easter evening concludes with Jesus commissioning his disciples. The resurrection of Jesus was not the end of the Christian story, but the beginning. It was the first sign of the new creation, and there was work for the disciples to do. They were to be Jesus' witnesses and to begin the task of proclamation. To equip them for that task, he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Well, it would make our task a lot easier if we had a recording of that event. If we could go to YouTube and download the video of Jesus instructing his disciples. But Jesus did promise the gift of his Spirit to help us to understand the scriptures. And every time we open the scriptures together, we pray for God to guide us, to open our minds as he opened the minds of those startled disciples in first century Jerusalem. And the heart of the message that they were to proclaim was repentance and forgiveness of sins in the name of Jesus to all nations. And this was a message to be shared with all people everywhere. It was not just for some favoured few or the specially chosen elite, but Jesus added the words, "You are witnesses of these things." Well, many of us are in church today because at some time in our life, someone bore witness to the risen Christ, his life and death and resurrection, and what that might mean for us. After that appearance of Christ in the upper room, the disciples, the followers of Jesus, were changed men and women. They told the story. We had an example of that in the reading from Acts this morning. In the name of Jesus, Peter and John heal a man who's been lame from birth. They then told the onlookers that the man Jesus, who had been put to death on a Roman cross just a few weeks before, was now alive, having been raised by God. They declared, "To this we are witnesses." Then he added, "It is the faith that is through Jesus that has given this man perfect health in the presence of all of us." Well, the disciples who a few weeks before had sheltered in a room with the door shut and bolted had been transformed into witnesses on fire with their message of a risen Christ, offering repentance and forgiveness of sins to people of all nations. Christianity affirms that change is possible. we are not condemned to forever repeat the sins of the past, and that we can begin again. Well, this morning we have witnessed the baptism of Francis. Baptism itself is a form of witness. Francis' parents, Lockie and Rosie, have publicly declared that they are followers of Christ who strive to live as his disciples. And by having Francis baptized, they declare that she belongs to Christ too. She is Christ's own forever. It's a kind of shared ownership. So our prayer for Francis today is that she will grow up knowing that she is loved by God and that she will shine as a light in the world to the glory of God the Father. We are witnesses of these things. Amen.